Speaking of comedy, though, in case you were, the man behind the College Humor site, which has made really inroads in comedy and big bucks as well, Mr. College Humor himself, Ricky Van Veen, is with us. And he's got a new movie out. Now, they're doing a movie. College Humor is doing a movie, their first movie, but it's actually streaming right to your computer. So they get to, you know, they don't have to take a $200 million write-off on it afterwards. So that's the advantage of that. He's with us right now, Ricky Van Veen in New York. Hi, Ricky, how are you?
Hi, I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for doing it. So, you know, and speaking of College Humor and so forth, is there a Wake Forest humor?
Well, it started at Wake Forest.
Yeah.
When I was a freshman in college, I was 18,
yeah.
And my best friend from high school and I were DJs. That was our kind of high school into college job. We were terrible DJs. We did bar mitzvahs and sweet 16s. And we were DJing a freshman year of college, an office party for this company called Advertising.com. And, you know, this was the height of the bubble, and there are all these, you know, 20-something millionaire idiots there, you know, on paper, of course. And we were like, hey, we want to be 20-something millionaire idiots. And so we started the website, you know, right there when we were freshmen. I was at Wake Forest. He was at University of Richmond.
Yeah. And it was a huge success, though. You must have made millions on it, did you? I don't know if you want to speak about that.
No, I mean, it's done well.
Done well means you made millions on it, right? Otherwise, it's not well. I mean, you're not a billionaire, probably, but you're a good-sized millionaire.
I'm not a billionaire. That's correct.
That's cool. And then, but, you know, like Harvard gets most of the comedy chops, right?
Yeah, Harvard also gets all the startup chops.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times someone assumes that I went to Harvard because I have a tech startup or, you know, a internet startup. And sometimes I just roll with it, and they just keep talking. I'm like, yeah. So they ask me about, like, a major, and then I have no idea.
Yeah. Could you not get into Harvard? Did you try?
There's no way I could have gotten into Harvard.
Yeah. What did you major in at Wake Forest?
I was, like, a information systems kind of major. I don't even think they have it anymore.
Like IT? An IT guy?
Yeah, it was, like, business IT kind of thing. It was one of these, like, again, like a height-of-the-bubble majors where they're like, oh, people are, you know, doing internet stuff now. We have to kind of get into that. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you ever sorry you didn't stay with the IT? Because, I mean, you can always work.
I was graduating, and my business partner and I were like, you know, what can we, you know, what can we do? You know, we can, we had to make the decision between going and getting jobs or continuing with the startup. And we looked at the options, and we said, all right, we're making enough money at this point to have cable TV and eat pizza every night. And, you know, when you're 22 years old, you're like, yeah, that's a good option. So,
yeah.
So we decided to take the risk and go for it.
Is it at all hard at a certain point to stay with College Humor when you're, you know, obviously postgraduate at this point?
Yeah, you know, that's a question we asked ourselves, like, the day we graduated. and then we had a meeting at MTV, and we realized that the people running MTV weren't screaming 14-year-old girls.
No.
And we're like, all right, I guess you can run a media company, you know, that's aimed at a different demographic, even if you're not in that demographic.
Yeah.
But we still hire interns and people right out of college, and, you know, keep the voice fresh.
Yeah, and does your company make Chopped too? Is that the TV show?
Yeah. So we have a non-scripted division, and Chopped on the Food Network is probably our show.
Who comes up with the baskets on Chopped? Can you tell me that?
It's the showrunner and the producers.
Yeah, what sadist does that? I mean, that is the worst combination of ingredients to make anything out of. You know.
Yes.
I mean, that's the genius of the show, I think.
My favorite episode was the Leftovers episode. They're very smart people over there.
Sea squirts and challah.
Yes.
And chocolate sauce.
Yeah.
Excuse me. And now this is a departure for you to go into movies, and this is actually being streamed directly to you, bypassing Hollywood altogether. Is that the...
Exactly. So plan? we have this movie called Coffee Town. And the premise is basically, you can think of Office Space, but it's a workplace comedy for the generation that doesn't really go to an office as much. So
yeah.
People who freelance at home or in coffee shops. And it's about this character named Will, who's played by Glenn Howerton from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right.
And he has this freeloading existence using the Wi-Fi of his local coffee shop. And the coffee shop is, you know, threatened to be turned into a bar, and he would basically lose his free office.
Yeah.
So he and his friends band together and save it. And so we made this movie, and it's a low-budget movie. And
how low?
We don't say exactly, but pretty low. But it looks and feels like a mainstream movie because it's shot very well. It's written very well. The director is a guy from Arrested Development. He also did some big family comedies like Wild Hogs and Yogi Bear. Mm. And so he comes from that mainstream world, but he just wanted to do something a little more hands-on and creative.
Yeah.
And so we made the movie. And we're doing a theatrical tour, you know, which is about a 12 to 14 different cities. But our main distribution is iTunes, Amazon, Xbox, you know, all the your local, you know, your cable provider. It's everywhere you can get on-demand movies. And we realized that would be a good idea when we had a group of high school kids about 6 months ago touring our offices. And we get, you know, kids a lot, you know, that want to see the College Humor offices. And I asked them, where do you guys see movies? And nobody said the theater. Everyone, their first thing was Amazon, Netflix, right. iTunes. And I realized that this generation, the generation that this movie is targeted towards, they don't really go, they only go to a theater when it's an event movie, right? Yeah. When it's Avengers or Spider-Man, when it's, you know, they want to go at midnight and be in line with their friends. But if it's a goofy comedy like ours, they'll watch it at home.
Yeah.
And so we said, you know, why have that extra step? Yeah. Why not just kind of try to focus on the on-demand aspect of this?
Yes. On the other hand, they will have ripped off all these movies.
Well, every movie is on, you know, is pirated.
Yeah.
The day it's out. But, you know, if
yours
you want
to is harder to rip off, though, really, when you think about it, right?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible to rip it off because it's not there.
Yeah.
There's no form. It doesn't have, like, a physical form. You'd have to break into the hack into your stream or something.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I don't want to get too technical because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you can copy it digitally, and I'm like encouraging people. No.
No.
But yeah, it's basically if you can see and hear anything, you can pirate it. So you have to assume that what you want to do is just make it as convenient as possible for people to see it, and then they won't pirate it. So with this movie, you know, it's one click on your Apple TV. And you're watching it.
Yeah. I have a little bit of just a sound clip here of Will kind of explaining what he's all about. Would you mind if we play it a little bit?
Go for it.
Okay.
When I got laid off from my office job a year ago, I tried working at home.
Add it to the drop-down menu on my name.
But roommates can make that difficult. So I come here, Coffee Town, though it wasn't always called that. A local businessman, Morris Brown, wanted to start a chain of coffee stores. And since coffee is brown, he came up with the ingenious name Brown Town, which some took the wrong way. So it became Coffee Town. And it works for me because, unlike some people in this world,
do you have another card, maybe?
I live within my means.
Next.
I drive a 1998 Saturn. I buy clothes at estate sales.
That was his church coat.
I get my hair cut at a cosmetology school.
No. Lose yourself. Don't be afraid to fail.
And I use a coffee shop as my office, which I love. It's three blocks from my house, has comfortable chairs, and most importantly, people that are bigger losers than me.
Where's your dial-up connection?
But like any office, there are rules to surviving, and they have to be followed. The main rule, always be drinking. You stop drinking, you stop being a customer. And the reason I have to play by the rules is this guy, Sam. He sees people like me as parasites, squatters in his house of free Wi-Fi.
What'll it be, sir?
He knows.
Medium drip, lightly sweetened.
Sometimes I let him write it all down. Then I change it up.
With whole milk?
I win. Now I just have to find a way to drink milk without f***ing my pants.
He changed it up on him.
Yep.
Yeah. Is there any personal experience involved in this?
When I first moved to New York, we didn't have internet in our apartment for a few weeks. So I would go to a Starbucks every day and work. And there's a real culture around it. And in that clip, the barista is played by Josh Groban, right, the singer. And he just kills it. I didn't know this until I read it in a Rolling Stone interview yesterday with Josh, but he said he based his character off the lead singer of Creed, but an unsuccessful version. And if you watch the movie, it's very funny to see him in a goatee with these awkward tattoos, and he's in a crappy band.
Yeah. By the way, doesn't Creed come up quite a bit in your college humor?
Yes, Creed is a go-to, for sure.
That's a go-to. Yeah, and Josh Groban is great in it. Plus, the cast is really great.
The cast is great. It's Adrian Palicki, who plays Tyra on Friday Night Lights. Ben Schwartz from House of Lies and Parks and Rec is in it.
Right.
Steve Little from Eastbound and Down. A great cast of comedy up-and-comers, which I think really just make for a funny movie. And the two reactions we get from people when they watch the movie, the first one is, I can't believe it's actually funny, meaning so many comedies now, that studio comedies, come out and they have the rhythm of a comedy, but the jokes just aren't that funny. Mm-hmm. And so people are like, well, it's funny to see a comedy that actually lives up to the genre of comedy. And the second is rewatchability. And people are like, there's a lot of quotable scenes, and it's the kind of movie where if you're in a dorm, you put it on at midnight and watch it as you're going to sleep, and every night over and over. So we've been getting a great reaction to it.
Yeah, and have you found that young people are actually buying this as opposed to trying to rip it off somehow?
Yeah,
it's working.
We cracked the top 10 of iTunes, which is huge for a movie with pretty much no promotional budget behind it. It's all just word of mouth, people saying like, hey, I saw this movie, you got to see it.
Yeah. It's Glenn Howerton is interesting, because I was looking up his bio and just sort of learned more about him. And it says that he is actually fluent in Mandarin, Korean, French, Spanish, German, and Farsi. So you could actually do this in different languages.
We could have him dub it over.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Farsi, you could do this and make a killing in Iran.
Yes.
Because I'm sure the same, because Internet Cafe, that's like a global phenomenon.
Yeah, and it's funny, when we started shooting this movie, we would see more and more articles about nationwide changes, like Starbucks is now putting locks on bathrooms and basically trying to get rid of this freeloading culture.
Yeah.
And, just walking around my city, I see coffee shops now have signs that say laptops allowed only from, noon until 5 p.m.
No kidding. To
really try to get these freeloaders out.
Yeah. And the quarter for the bathroom?
The quarter for the bathroom is in the movie. Yeah. The Glenn's character decides that he figures out that he doesn't need a quarter. He just needs tokens from basically a Chuck E. Cheese. And so he goes to a Chuck E. Cheese ball pit and just watches kids drop tokens out of their pockets. And then they think he's there to just watch kids, and they haul him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fun little moment.
Hanging around the ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah, not a good look.
Not a good thing for anybody, I don't think. And so, now, how do we know about, usually you talk about screens and so forth in the movie, how many screens it's on and so forth, and gross, does gross get reported for something like this? Or how
it doesn't get reported publicly, no, but the main metric you can use is just to look at the iTunes charts. That's kind of like the new standard for a release, because it's it's public information, and it's just kind of like the weekend box office. Like, oh, you were number one in the box office. Like, oh, you were X on the iTunes charts this weekend.
Yeah, so you're like number five, did you say?
Yeah, I think we got up to eight and been kind of holding around there. Yeah. So that's... Again, we're really, really pleased.
Who's right above you in iTunes right now?
I think it was the movie Red. Last time I checked. Or it was also another point, I think it's Queen of Versailles. Have you seen that documentary?
Yeah. No.
It's a great documentary about the construction of the America's largest private home. And then it kind of goes a different direction, and it starts focusing on the people building it, and you can imagine they're quite characters. So that one's worth checking out after Coffee Town.
Yeah. Do you make an appearance in this film?
Or I actually cut
Hitchcock.
Myself out of it.
You did?
Yeah, we had a joke. We had a when Will is explaining the benefits of working at a coffee shop, he says, your friends can stop by anytime they want. And then there was a cut to, like a 30 Rock style cut to, where he says, you can't do that at every job. And it cuts to a surgeon doing surgery, and then his buddies there saying, hey, what are we doing tonight? And we were casting it, and we were like, all right, well, we have to find an actor to play a surgeon. And I said, well, why do we have to find an actor when it's just when the surgeon is wearing a mask, you can't even see their face. I said, I'll just get in there, and it, you know, it doesn't matter. But that ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah, did you cut it or did
I cut it. Yeah.
You did. Right. Your thinking was?
I just wanted to pace it up as much as possible.
Oh, I see. Okay. The pacing thing.
Yeah, especially because, you know, a lot of it takes place in the same, you know, room. You know, I'd say half the movie at different points is in this coffee shop. So we wanted to make sure that it was paced and you didn't feel claustrophobic, and yeah. Hopefully we did that.
Because I couldn't help but notice you did have a walk on girls.
I did you have did a walk on yeah. girls, yes. Yes. That in the episode where the Marnie character is singing,
Allison.
And I cringe. Yes. Yeah.
Was that a genuine cringe? Because I know Allison Williams is a friend of yours.
Yes.
You're close.
Yes. And that was a it was a genuine cringe. And it's funny for people who know us to watch that.
She was saying stronger, right, Kanye?
Yes. In one of the most memorable episodes of TV of the entire year.
Yeah. She has a strong voice.
Yes.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Yes.
So that was good. Okay. Now, what happens next with the film? I mean, is this the start of a series?
Yeah, we have the premiere at the Montreal Comedy Festival. That's July 27th. Uh-huh. And that's the kind of big festival premiere, and tickets are available for that. You can go online and get them. Yeah. And then we have a Q&A with the cast afterwards. And then we're thinking about doing a college tour with some of the cast in the fall to kind of, you know, keep the momentum going. And hopefully, you know, like I said, the reviews, you know, if you can see on iTunes and Amazon, you know, the reviews that people leave, and they've been fantastic. So hopefully that word of mouth will help propel it. And even though we don't have the, you know, millions of dollars of marketing that a traditional studio would.
Yeah. Does Barry Diller have a hand in this at all? I know he was your mentor at one point.
I work for Barry to this day. So he bought College Humor from us.
Yeah.
I sent him the script and I said, I think we should do this. And, you know, what I like about Barry is that he's, you know, willing to take risks and try new things.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's all about innovation. And he said, buy it. And it was that simple. And I think if I would have sold to any other kind of conglomerate, I don't think this ever would have happened, because there would be just layers of, you know, maybe this department should do it or that department and approvals. And the great thing about Barry is he's just like, yeah, let's do it.
Well, I think Laverne and Shirley paved the way for Coffee Town. And the other thing that you wonder about it, don't people make movies now for the write-off, don't they? I mean, like The Lone Ranger was like $194 million they're going to write off on it.
Yeah.
And it's a strange business. So.
Yes, and we actually benefited from The Lone Ranger, you know, kind of bombing, because in several articles, there's one in the LA Times and one in Media Post, had the same comparison of Coffee Town versus The Lone Ranger.
And unexpected.
Unexpected.
Yes.
And I was making it, I did not expect to be compared to The Lone Ranger in any way. And it basically said, you know, Lone Ranger costs hundreds of millions of dollars to make, hundreds of millions of dollars more to promote, and it bombed. And it's just it's not sustainable for the future of filmmaking.
Yeah.
And we also had, about 2 weeks before our release, George Lucas and Steven Spielberg on a panel talking about how video on demand really is the future.
Yeah.
And there's going to be an implosion of these big, you know, bloated studio tentpole films, because you can only have so many Lone Rangers until you're kind of out of business.
True enough. Well, I want to thank you for taking time to speak with us, Ricky Van Veen.
Michael. It's been great.
Nice to speak with you. Congratulations. Good luck on this film and other things to come.
Appreciate it.
Ricky Van Veen, ladies and gentlemen. A nice guy for a young millionaire, I think. He's a very nice guy. And College Humor jumps into film its own terms with Coffee Town. So look, you can get it on iTunes and so forth. See if you can bump it up a notch or two on iTunes. It is quite funny. All right there, hey.
Yeah, Coffee Town.
Coffee Town.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is true, you know, and you go into someplace, Starbucks or a local coffee shop and stuff, and everyone, you see all these kids there with their laptops.
Right.
And some of them are drinking water. No. You know, have you noticed that? That, I think, is...
Or nothing.
That's a faux pas.
Just sitting there. I was in a Starbucks, and a car pulls up in front, and the guy, like, parks right in front, blocking the whole street, a little... thing, pulls out his laptop and he's
just uses
there.
Oh, he's, he does.
Cars are honking, going around. It's like, God.
You're kidding.
Oh,
so he's stealing their Wi-Fi and just staying in his vehicle.
Yeah, and even come into the store.
Oh, what's this coming to, ladies and gentlemen? How many of you are internet cafe or coffee shop cafe habitués? Applaud, though, because we can't see your hands. Okay, just this young guy over here, okay. And the older guy over here. That's cool. All right, so what do you got for us here? What's going on?
Wait a minute,
promoting, what's going on? You want to promote something? Last week you had two things to promote.
Yeah. Nothing.
Okay.
maybe the second hour.
Look at Jeff.
We'll talk about the second hour.
Okay, second hour.
It's plenty of time.
Okay.
Well, what do you got?
Who?
Oh, yeah, Jeff. Well, Jeff has an ongoing gig at Andy's Jazz Club in Chicago with the tenor player Mike Smith.
Oh, okay. Good.
Alto.
Alto player.
Did he play a little tenor, too, though?
Yeah, sure. I'm sure he did at one point. It doesn't come out of nowhere. Sure he did.
Okay.
Okay, and this tune, tell us about it. There's a story behind it.
Not much to tell, really. No? Okay. It's a Roberta Flack, Donny Hathaway tune.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Where's the Love?
Where's the Love?